RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, welcome to the news. Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says Netherlands is Indonesia's most important partners of trade and investment in the European region. Indonesia rejects Norwegian parliament on palm oil. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. The president said that the Netherlands is one of Indonesia's most important trade and investment partners in Europe, although in recent years the trade figures of both countries showed a downward trend. Joko hoped the trend will lead to a more positive direction. Therefore, it needs hard work of both countries. This was revealed by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi after the bilateral meeting. In other economic fields, according to Retno, Jokowi believes that if the Indonesia-European Union CEPA or Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement have been completed, then bilateral trade will increase. President Joko Widodo underlined that Indonesia's palm oil continues to experience a negative campaign in Europe. Although the president acknowledged that the resolution was non-binding for the executive, the president was worried that the black campaign and the discrimination would hurt Indonesia's palm export.
Belanda ini kan merupakan satu mitra strategis kita, mitra kita yang penting untuk bidang ekonomi baik.
The Netherlands is one of our strategic partners, our important partner for economy, trade, investment, and tourism. In the field of trade, there is a decline. Therefore, the president again expressed the hope that the negotiation for Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement can be resolved soon. In addition, the president sent again a message on the issue of oil palm, because the Netherlands, Rotterdam, our palm export in Europe goes through Rotterdam, is the second largest. Therefore, we are also working with palm oil importers to handle or to counteract the negative campaign and black campaigns that are continuously launched for Indonesian oil palm. President Joko Widodo has also made the Netherlands as a partner in counterterrorism. The president noted the rise of radicalism and acts of terrorism in various regions of the world, including in Asia and Europe. The Indonesian head of state also reminded that the problem of financing is a serious problem. Therefore, Indonesia and the Netherlands should step up cooperation to stop funding for radical movement and terrorism. President Joko Widodo called on the Norwegian government's attention on the Norwegian parliamentary resolution on June 2, 2017 on palm oil. Joko rejected the resolution as it was considered inconsistent with the spirit of our EDD plus cooperation between Indonesia and Norway and denied Indonesia's efforts to tackle climate change, environmental protection, and sustainable development. President Jokowi believes that the Norwegian government will support open and fair trade relations. The statement was conveyed by President Jokowi Dodo through Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi after a bilateral meeting between President Jokowi and Norwegian Prime Minister Erna Solberg on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. The resolution of the Norwegian Parliament follows the previous resolution issued by the European Union Parliament in connection with the certification of palm products and the ban on palm-based biodiesel. The government of Indonesia regretted if the issue on oil palm is considered as a major contributor to deforestation.
Kita tahu bahwa kita ingin
we know that we want to promote trade, want to promote investment, and trade is also a trade that benefits both countries. There is also an issue that we are addressing. Once again, it is the issue on palm oil in their biodiesel context. The Indonesian government is aware that there are still shortages in the development of palm oil industry in Indonesia. Related to this, the government continues to commit to make improvements in this industry. Indonesia's and Spain's value of trade transactions in Indonesia and Spain in the last 5 years has been experiencing a downward trend of 5.76% every year. Therefore, during a bilateral meeting on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany, Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy Brey are committed to enhancing cooperation between the two countries. President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement will increase Indonesia's trade with European Union, including with Spain. Therefore, President Jokowi expects support from Prime Minister Mariano to accelerate the completion of the Indonesia-European Union CEPA negotiations. Meanwhile, according to Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno P. Marsudi, issues of Indonesia's palm oil products that experienced a negative campaign in the European market were also conveyed by President Joko Widodo in the meeting. The President hopes that Spain can enforce palm oil products fairly, like the agreement of the standardization of wood and wood products of Indonesia through law enforcement, governance, and trade field of forestry, which has been a plate. The President again conveyed his concern to Europe continuing negative campaign for Indonesia's palm products and asked Spain to provide a fair trade commitment to Indonesia's palm oil products. President Joko Widodo also appreciated Airbus Defence and Space, which has established Bandung as an assembly center for the Asia-Pacific market. This has further strengthened Spain as an important partner of Indonesia in strategic industry cooperation. In the brief meeting, Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy Brey expressed his country's support for Indonesia's nomination as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council for 2019-2020 period. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull before attending the opening ceremony of the G20 summit. The meeting was held at the Steigerberger's Hotel, Hamburg, Germany, Friday morning local time. According to Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, in the bilateral meeting, the two countries' leaders mentioned about the continuation of the negotiation of the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement between Indonesia and Australia. The Indonesian government has committed to completing the Indonesian-Australia's EPA this year, but in the end, there are things that are still in the final stages of discussion with the two leaders of the country. The first Indonesia-Australia's EPA negotiations were held in September last year, and the seventh round of negotiation was closed on Friday, May 26, 2017, in Jakarta. The eighth round will be held in Australia from 31st July to 4th August 2017. In the seventh round of negotiations, Indonesia and Australia managed to complete the negotiations by producing a very positive discussion.
Mengenai masalah komitmen kedua pemimpin untuk mendorong On
the issue of the commitment, the two leaders encouraged the negotiation of Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement to be completely resolved by the end of 2017. The two leaders discussed that the negotiations have been done up to 7 times to be continued this morning also between the negotiation chief to communicate, and what is important is that these leaders continue to push for real negotiations to be completed by the end of 2017. Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement negotiations have resulted early decision or early outcomes that can be implemented before the signing of the agreement is ratified. The early outcomes include cooperation in the field of skilled labor exchange, partnerships in food and beverage sector, in meat and beef sector, financial services, vocational, fashion and jewelry design, food innovation, drug and food standards, herbal products, and standard mapping. Based on the joint study, the Indonesia-Australia CPA agreement could increase GDP by $33.1 billion for Indonesia. In addition, this agreement can enhance human resources through vocational education and training or VET cooperation. Moving the capital city from Jakarta to Kalimantan is currently being discussed by the government and it requires thorough review. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the plan to relocate the capital city requires substantial funds and must be supported by good domestic economic conditions. Moving the state capital can have an economic downturn if all infrastructure and economic and government support facilities are not ready. According to him, moving the state capital cannot be done quickly due to the preparation of various infrastructures and facilities of the government, such as the presidency Palace, the office of ministries or institutions, agencies, the Indonesian military and police headquarters, healthy facility, and housing facility for around 900,000 central government staffs. Vice President Yusuf Kalla considered it takes 10 years to move the capital city to Kalimantan Island.
Semuanya juga sahur hampir begitu otonomi, tapi masih saja. Jadi, tapi ini suatu upaya.
It should be well studied, especially in the current condition where the state finances are not very good. It does not mean next year all of the sudden we move the capital city. No, because the central government has 900,000 staffs. We have to consider their housing, the offices, the palace, army headquarters, attorney general offices, and etc. So it's not something easy, frankly, but the idea is good. But the reason should not be because of the traffic jams. If it is because of traffic jams, we must solve the traffic jams. Yusuf Kalla added that the moving of the state capital is easier to do with the federal countries such as America, Australia, Myanmar, Malaysia, and others because the federal state has an economic system involving entrepreneurs and local governments, while Indonesia has a centralized economic system in the capital city. If the central government is to be transferred, the facility of business activity must also be the same. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the visit of House of Representatives or DPR Special Committee for the Right of Inquiry to the Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK to the Sukamiskin Correctional Institution Bandung West Java on Thursday was the right of the House to evaluate the Ministry of Institution and relevant agencies' performance. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the Corruption Eradication Commission should not worry about the political steps taken by the House because the public can assess the performance of the special committee, which is expected to strengthen the performance of anti-corruption institution to eradicate corruption in Indonesia. The results of the evaluation of the special committee led by Agun Gunanjar were encouraged to provide positive inputs to improve the performance of the commission, both strengthening prevention efforts and strengthening the Corruption Act.
Hak itu ya hak dari DPR untuk
the right of inquiry is the right of the House to evaluate something. The Corruption Eradication Commission has been through 15 years. There is nothing wrong if the House of Representatives, whom implement the law for the Commission evaluate the laws it has made. KPK need not worry about the political steps taken by the House because the community can also assess the performance of the Special Committee, which is expected to strengthen the performance of anti-corruption institution to eradicate corruption in Indonesia. During its visit to Sukamiskin Correctional Institution in Bandung, the House of Representatives Special Committee for the Right of Inquiry to the Corruption Eradication Commission held an audience with a number of corruption prisoners. The Special Committee has listened to a number of information and experiences related to the legal process handled by the Commission. The Committee will also check and recheck some information and experiences from the corruptors. The last item, the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo has made efforts to free Indonesian students detained in Egypt. On July 3, 2017, the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo received confirmation from the head of Egypt's immigration office that the four students, Adi Kurniawan, Ahmad Afandi Abdul Muiz, Rifai Mujahidin Al-Haq, and Mufki Al-Bana will be sent back to Indonesia. It was stated by the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo through a press release to RRI in Cairo on Saturday. In a statement to RRI, Head of Protocol and Consular Affairs of the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Winratmo Suwarno, said that he had contacted the students' families to get information on the return plane. The embassy has received the tickets from the families and submitted them to the immigration and conveyed that the student would be sent home on 8 July 2017.
Pada tanggal 5 Juli, kami sempat.
On July 5th, we met with the students at the immigration office and they would be taken to Cairo International Airport to be repatriated to Indonesia on July 8th and arrive in Indonesia on July 9th. Furthermore, Windratmo explained that the embassy has ensured that the students have departed from Cairo International Airport on Saturday morning, July 8, 2017. That was news over Airport Service Voice of Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to our weekly segment of news from across the country. the segment which presents interesting information from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Dieng, Central Java. Head of Land Movement Center of Volcanology and Geological Disaster Mitigation Center, Geological Agency of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Agus Budianto mentioned that there are 22 craters that need to be watched in Dieng Plateau, Central Java. According to him, from the 22 craters, Timbang Crater is the most to watch out for. Unlike Sillery Crater, the shape of Timbang Crater consisted of fractures which have not contained water, only gas such as carbon dioxide and sulfuric acid which harm for life. Although dangerous, Angus claimed could not predict when the energy expenditure of the Timbang Crater. Therefore, the monitoring conducted by his office becomes one of the indicators to determine the stages of the volcano. In addition to Timbang Crater, some main craters such as Sinila and Sikidang are also located in the Dieng Plateau area. Next story comes from Sleman, Central Java. During the period of Lebaran holiday 2017, from June 23, 2017 to July 2, 2017, tourism destinations in Sleman District, Yogyakarta, visited by more than 500,000 tourists. Head of Department of Tourism of Sleman Regency, Sudarningsih, said on Monday that the visit was recorded around 200,000 visits, or 42.73%, than the temple tours to some temples in the region, such as Prambanan Temple, Ratu Boko Temple, Ijo Temple, Sambisari Temple, and several other temples, are about 139,000 visits, or 27.62%. Sudarningsih also said, the increasing number of visits in Sleman during the Lebaran holiday 2017 was not separated from the effort to promote new tourism destinations, which are vigorously implemented both through conventional media and online media, and the development of supporting infrastructure to the existing destinations. Last story comes from Probolinggo, East Java. Yatnya Kasada ritual in Bromo, Probolinggo Regency, East Java this year will certainly be more lively. Therefore, the organizers and local government will hold a festival before Kasada. The festival was named Exotica Bromo. The head of Information Communication Office, Statistics and Encyclopedia of Probolinggo, Tutuk Edi Utomo, said, Kasada this year is clearly different than the previous years because there will be various artistic and cultural performances. Kasada celebration falls on Sunday, July 9, 2017, or the 14th of Hindu Kasada. On Sunday night, the local government held a reception at the Great Hall. The event was enlivened by a torch parade from the village to Pendopo Agung and will be entertained by traditional singers. Head of Department of Youth, Sport, Tourism and Culture, Sidi Wijanarko, added, the regional government targets 5% tourist visit every year. The target is always achieved. Listener, that was the news from across the country.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The This is Ellen Wood Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 9 July 2002. The African Union was established. The African Union is a composite of 54 African countries. The only African countries not to join the African Union is Morocco. Founded on July 9, 2002, the African Union was formed as the successor of the African Union Organization. The most important African Union decision is made by the African Union Assembly at the meeting of heads of state and government of its member countries. The African Union Secretariat and the African Union Commission are based in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Over now to 9 July 2011, South Sudan independence. South Sudan is located in East Africa. The country was originally part of the Anglo-Egyptian Sudan under Britain and Egypt and later became part of the Republic of Sudan since its independence in 1956. After the First Sudanese Civil War, the Southern Sudanese Autonomous Region was formed in 1972 and lasted until 1983. The Second Sudanese Civil War ended with the 2005 Comprehensive Peace Agreement. Later that year, the Southern Sudanese Autonomous Government was formed. So Sudan became an independent state only July 9, 2011 midnight local time after a referendum held in January 2011 resulted in about 99% of voters choosing to secede from Sudan. The last is from July 9, 2014, Indonesia's presidential election 2014. On July 9, 2014, an election was held to choose the president and vice president of Indonesia for the 2014 to 2019 period. This election became the third direct presidential election in Indonesia. The incumbent President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono could not join this election because of a law prohibiting a third period for a president. According to the 2008 election law, only parties that control more than 20% of seats in the House of Representatives or win 25% of popular votes can nominate their candidates. The general election was finally won by Joko Widodo Yusuf Kala pair with a vote of 53.15%, defeating the Prabowo Subianto Hatta Rajasa couple, who won a vote of 46.85% in accordance with the decision of the General Election Commission on July 22, 2014. President and Vice President-elect was inaugurated on October 20, 2014. That was Today in History from Area Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is Area Service Voice of Indonesia with Spotlight of the Week. Today, it's on Indonesia asks Malaysia to extend rehiring program and stop sweeping. Indonesian Minister of Labor Hanif Dakiri and Deputy Protection National Agency for Placement and Protection of Indonesian Workers Teguh Hendro Cahyono separately in Jakarta Thursday, 6 July, asked the Malaysian authorities to extend the rehiring program and stop the raid against an authorized foreigner. In addition, the Malaysia Immigration Office Malaysia was asked to give the full rights to detain Indonesian workers. According to Minister Hanif, Malaysia should consider the large number of illegal migrant workers in Malaysia, including from Indonesia. If the program is extended and the facility is made easy and cheap, along with voluntary repatriation programs that are also easy and cheap, more people will follow. The Indonesian Minister of Manpower, he added, will soon send a team to Kuala Lumpur to discuss informally the request. The meeting will also become the first step before the lobby is officially conducted, including discussion of memorandum of understanding on a new cooperation in the placement and protection of migrant workers to Malaysia to prevent illegal workers. According to Hanif, a rehabilitation program has been initiated by the Malaysian government with legal enforcement card registration. The problem is the program ran from 15 February to June 30, 2017 was considered too short so that the participation of illegal migrant workers was not optimal. Meanwhile, with regard to the workers who have been detained, Deputy Protection National Agency for Placement and Protection of Indonesian Workers, Teguh Hendro, asked Malaysia to treat them well, put them in an eligible place, not overcrowded with labor from other countries that could cause physical conflict. According to Teguh, currently representatives of Indonesia Embassy in Kuala Lumpur are communicating continuously and requesting consular notification to be able to record and contact detained Indonesian workers. On the other hand, outside of lobbying, the Ministry of Labor together with 22 provincial or district employment offices of the workers' origin and border areas have discussed the handling and anticipation of the impact of the troubled migrant workers, among others through preparation of retaining program for those who need to change profession, job placement through an interworking system between regions, and productive business empowerment through microcredit scheme. That was Spotlight of the Week. Listener, welcome to the news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. President Joko Widodo called on the Norwegian government's attention on the Norwegian parliamentary resolution of the June 2, 2017 on palm oil. Indonesia's and Spain's value of trade transactions in Indonesia and Spain in the last 5 years has been experiencing a downward trend of 5.76% every year. Therefore, during a bilateral meeting on the sidelines of the G20 summit of Hamburg, Germany, Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy are committed to enhancing cooperation between the two countries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull before attending the opening ceremony of the G20 summit. Vice President Yusuf Kala has stated that the visit of House Special Committee for the Right of Inquiry to the Corruption Eradication Commission is the House right. Indonesian students arrested in Egypt are repatriated. The Indonesian embassy in Cairo has made efforts to free Indonesian students detained in Egypt. That was the news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is the radio service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism like places of interest, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I will discuss Lopisan tradition in Pekalongan, Central Java Province. So stay tuned in to radio service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. A week after Idul Fitri Day, people in the northern coast of Java such as Pekalongan hold another celebration called Syawalan with Lapisan or Krab Iakan tradition. People from Pekalongan and surrounding areas would gather to witness the cutting of a giant lopis or sticky rice cooked in banana leaf wrap that has a diameter of 150 cm, weighing 185 kg, and of 110 cm height. This tradition is often called Krab Iakan because the peak of the event is held in Krapiak area. Currently, lopisan has become a tourist agenda in Pekalongan held every year. For making the giant lopis, it takes about 4 quintals of sticky rice and the cooking time takes about 4 to 5 hours. The Syawalan has been observed by the people of Pekalongan city since 130 years ago, while the lopis cutting tradition itself has only started since 1956 by the village head of the area at that time. Lopisan comes from the word lopis, which is a specific food with raw material consisting of sticky rice which has remarkable addition when it is boiled until cooked properly. Sticky rice symbolizes the spirit of brotherhood, unity, and peace. Lopis does contain a philosophy about unity which is a reflection of the third precept of Indonesia's philosophy Pancasila, that is the unity of Indonesia. This is symbolized by the banana leaf that wrap it tight with bamboo straps or yarn. It is known that a banana tree won't die before bearing fruit or other stem of banana trees, so it can mean that one should not die before doing something good and leave something to the next generation. Lopisan is held after a 6-day fasting in the month of Syawal, as the habit of Pekalongan people to fast after Idul Fitri. So for 6 days, relatives from outside the region usually refrain from visiting because the host is still fasting. Therefore, the lopisan becomes a place to spill the spirit of silaturahmi, establish and tie the brotherhood for the year. Then lopis become the main food that is in every home. On the day of lopis cutting, in addition to attending the event, people also visit each other, especially relatives who are ready to welcome them. At this time, a variety of people from different ethnic groups gather together to celebrate this event. It truly symbolizes the spirit of unity and brotherhood among diverse societies of various ethnicities that converge into one celebrating lopisan. That was Indonesian Wonder today, which introduced lopisan or Krab Iak tradition from Pekalongan, Central Java. Until tomorrow with the same program, this is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, meet again with me, Alika, in Miscellany program. Listener, many people say that bread is not common for Indonesia's people breakfast. Only foreigners or Western people will eat bread for their breakfast. However, it is not true at all. Basically, there have been several bakeries in Indonesia since decades ago. Therefore, today's miscellany will introduce you to 5 legendary bakeries in Indonesia. So stay tuned in to Voice of Indonesia at www.voi.co.id. Listener, the first legendary bakery was in Solo City. It was known as Mandajarin Orion Bakery. This bakery has been established since 1930, located in Jalan Urip Sumoharjo, Surakarta, Central Java. As its name, the main product of this bakery is Mandajarin bread. Mandajarin bread is one of the typical bread of Solo and the shape is similar to Lapis Surabaya. However, what makes Mandajarin bread different is there is no preservatives, so that is safe to be consumed. The next one is the bakery with nostalgic nuance of 1930 in Semarang. The name is Oen Bakery. Classical nuance at the bakery is always maintained until now since the Oen Bakery was established. As Oen Bakery, visitors can find rare typical traditional Semarang bread, ganjil rail bread. If you, listener, want to taste this bread, you can go to Oen Bakery located in Jalan Pemuda No. 52, Semarang City. The next legendary bakery is in Jalan Jenderal Sudirman No. 23 Bogor, known as Bogor Permai Bakery, located nearby Kencana Garden. It was established in 1963 and still known with its bread and traditional cake. Although the decoration of this bakery is in modern nuance, the visitors still can find old-time bread that seems to be hard to find in other bakery, such as Tapal Kuda bread, cassette bread, and gambang bread. The price for the bread and cake is cheap, from 2,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah. Listener, the fourth legendary bakery is Sido Dadi Bakery, located in Bandung, precisely at Jalan Otista No. 225. This bakery has been established since 1954. Here, visitors can find a rare typical Bandung cake, the banquet cake. Besides the age and its old-time menu, another special thing in this bakery is the process of making bread. This bakery, until now, still uses charcoal to bake. The last legendary bakery is in Jakarta, known as Tan Ek Juan Bakery. This bakery has been starting its production since 1953. There are several breads that are still in this bakery's menu, such as gambang bread, chocolate bread, nugget bread, and solo bread. Besides, the buyer can order boya bread or crocodile-shaped bread. The length starts from half meter until more than 1 meter. If you, listener, are interested in this bakery, just go to Jalan Cikini Raya No. 61, Central Jakarta. Well, listener, that was today's miscellany with the topic 5 legendary bakeries in Indonesia. We will meet again in another interesting topic. Goodbye!
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well,
How about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Sutomo Bong in West Kalimantan. He was listening to our broadcast in English program. He said that Voice of Indonesia in English program is very good. In his email, Sutomo Bong also asked to send him our QSL cards, postage stamps, stickers, and VOI souvenirs. Hello, Mr. Sutomo Bong. We are glad to receive your email again. Thank you for your compliment. And we have delivered your request to our related division. But please be patient to wait for it. So keep listening to our broadcast. Mr. Sutomo Bong, we are looking forward to receiving your email and also your reception report. Special for you, we'll play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Berawal dari tatap indah senyummu memikat hatiku yang hampa lara. Senyum membawa tawa, tawa membawa cerita, cerita kasih indah tentang kita. Terkadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku tertawa di saat hati ini terbawa, terbawa oleh cintamu. kita. Terkadang ku ragu karena tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku tertawa. Oh, 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 di saat hati ini terbawa, terbawa.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Leonardo Santiago from Venezuela. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish. In his email, Mr. Leonardo Santiago told that he has monitored our broadcast since 2003 when he started tuning in at 15150 kHz and also sent reception report, but he has almost never received a reply to his letters. Recently, he was tuning in Spanish at the same time as he did about 10 years ago, but for the frequency of 9525 kHz. In this regard, he sent a new reception report attached to this message, and he hereby asks us to verify the reception report with one of our QSL cards. Hello, Mr. Leonardo Santiago, how are you today? Are you monitoring our broadcast now? We are really sorry because we haven't replied your email yet, but we promise to reply your email and send our QSL card to your address as soon as possible. But please send your current address in your next email so that we can send our QSL card by mail. So, Mr. Leonardo Santiago, keep listening to our broadcast and please don't forget to send your reception report. Thank you.
Haruskah ku berubah demi cinta? Agar mereka mau menerima ketidakbiasaan yang terjalin antara kita berdua. Haruskah ku memendam semua rasa? Haruskah ku memenjarakan asa? Yeah. Hanya karena cinta kita tak seperti apa yang
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a comment from Lilian Putina from Republic of Moldova. She was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through 9525 kHz at 1230 hours to 1300 hours on June the 30th, 2017. And the symbol was 34333. Hello, Ms. Lilian Putina. Thank you for your email and also your reception report on our broadcast. And as your request, we will send our QSL card to your home immediately. So please keep listening to our broadcast and send your reception report. For you, listeners, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Mata indahmu di bawah bintang-bintang, terbelah hatiku antara cinta dan rahasia. Ku cinta padamu, namun kau milik sahabatku. Dilema hatiku, andai ku bisa berkata sejujurnya, jangan kau pilih dia, pilihlah aku yang mampu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.